Take a walk through Seoul's 500 years of ghastly murders, forbidden history, and hidden scandals. Listen to tales of Korea's deepest, darkest secrets. What lies under the concrete? Or who? The Dark Side of Seoul Ghost Walk at darksideofseoul.com. Book now, if you dare.
And welcome to the Dark Side of Seoul podcast.
Ah, get away from me, you rabbit.
Oh, this is Joe.
This is the rabbit.
Hey, rabbit.
This is Sean.
Today we're going to talk about animals that attack, right? This is something you would get on, you order on VHS in the 90s or something.
Animals attack. Yeah. I mean, it's not just attack. Okay. Let's be honest. Putting the word attack when animals attack, it's clickbait. It's good for the SEO. We will talk about some attacks as well, but just some situations where animals have escaped and disrupted society for a little bit and caused issues, but also issues where they have attacked. And there's one animal in particular that's, especially in the last 15 to 20 years, mm-hmm. has become a bigger concern for Korea and Seoul. We'll get into that.
Because we're going to start with the inspiration for this topic.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I mean, Korea, you know, Korea, like any culture, has a big relationship with a long relationship with animals in terms of agriculture. Korea being like everywhere was dependent on agriculture, so they needed beasts of burden, and so ox were the big ones in Korea, the main ones, and they're a big part of that history. It's part of the folklore, folk tales, of course, food as well, but companionship, especially in more recent years, Koreans view animals as companions, which
I
wasn't
watched this transformation happen.
Yeah, which wasn't really a huge thing. In the not so distant past,
I saw how the society got conditioned to thinking of animals as pets.
Yeah,
TV shows and such. I mean, one of the most popular TV shows on weekends was pets doing bad things.
Mm.
Just pet shows. People just going, the pet is just not getting along with the cat's not getting along with the other cat. You know,
right. So they call him the cat whisperer or something.
Yeah.
So, and what's her name? Ihyori. Didn't she have a show or some company or something that encouraged people to reevaluate how they view animals?
Maybe.
I know there's something like that.
I think she was involved in animal activism, if anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you know, animals can be dangerous. Certain specific animals can be dangerous. And so they can run amok, famously, as people will say. And then, people can get hurt by certain animals. We'll talk a little bit about that, but we love animals.
We love animals.
So we know, Dark Side's mascot is Yomi the White, the cat that doesn't pay rent in my house. And Yomi is a rescue. We rescued Yomi 2017, I think it.
Oh, think gosh. It was, okay.
2018.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, he's a rescue. So, yeah, and I guess we'll say, we may have even mentioned this before, we've discussed doing an episode about animal cruelty and animal abuse issues in Korea, but that's one of those really hard ones to prepare for.
Yeah, that's the reason we don't do missing children stuff anymore.
Well, not frequently. Yeah,
no, I mean,
that
stuff.
They take a lot take a lot out of you. Yeah. So to do those episodes, it was some of our most complimented episodes are the ones like that. So people, well, I mean, I think certain people appreciate how we approach those topics. So
yeah.
It could be something that we'll get to at some point. We've even had a guest in mind for that. Maybe, like I said, these are hard episodes, so maybe we'll get to it eventually. So, but for now, yeah, let's talk about it. As you just said, Joe, the catalyst, the story that kind of inspired this episode. So, anyone who kind of follows Korean media, just in the news, I mean, generally the news, may have heard that just a few days ago, as we're recording, roughly a week ago.
It'll be a couple of weeks when this episode.
But that's right. By the time this comes out, so the end of March, from March 25th, 26th this year, 2024, an ostrich escaped from an ecology park in Seongnam, which is south of Seoul, kind of southeast.
It's almost like a suburb. It's a suburb.
Yeah. And it escaped from an ecology park, ran through the streets 9:30 in the morning. it's filmed. There's a lot of footage. Of course, everyone has a camera these days, so it's filmed.
You got your black box video and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And black box videos and a huge, fully grown adult ostrich is running through the streets of Seongnam.
Just commuting to work.
Commuting to work. This massive bird.
Our new ostrich taxi.
Yeah. And, you know, and of course, it was potentially dangerous because it could have been hit by a car, which also being so big, it would have hurt the driver. So it was a danger to itself. It was a danger to people. It was a threat. It disrupted traffic. It was a threat to pedestrians as well, of course.
Yeah.
When
you were watching that, were you hearing the Jurassic Park theme in your head when you watched it run down the street?
Yeah, a little bit. And I just recently watched that with my daughter. So, yes. It escaped, like I said, around 9:30 in the morning. And then it was caught just around 25 after 10 at a factory. It made its way into a factory grounds. And the authorities came in. It was safely captured. It was returned to the park, checked by the vets, and no injuries to the ostrich. Nobody was hurt. No damages. There's probably some minor damage somewhere along the street. Kicked over a planter or something that you don't care about. But when I saw that story, of course, it was funny. It made me laugh, and I was relieved as well that the animal was
good.
The video is good. Yeah. And I was relieved that, you know, the ostrich wasn't hurt. Nobody was hurt and whatnot. But it made me remember several occasions where similar things happened. And one of them was almost exactly a year earlier. So last year, end of March, 2023, a zebra started running through Seoul. Do you remember that?
Vaguely. Okay.
So it was a young male. Name was Seiro, was at Seoul Children's Grand Park, which is in Gwangjin-gu.
That's where they filmed a good bit of the Gangnam Style video.
Oh, is it? Okay. So Seiro, young male zebra, broke from his pen. Now, he was in his pen. There was some wooden fencing there. Yeah, and he tore that shit up. He just got out of there. He broke his way through at around 20 to 3 in the afternoon and ran out into the road. Roads were busy. That's not rush hour, but it's a busy enough time of the afternoon where there's a lot of traffic. And you see the poor thing. He's in the street. The cars are stopping, fortunately. Because there is enough traffic where I guess in the area where cars aren't running fast enough along the street, that there's a little bit of traffic congestion. So but the poor thing, Seiro, you can see he's he turns around to try to go one direction. He sees a car and then he backs up. He's startled, right? He doesn't know what to do. He's scared. It's probably noisy and whatnot. So he doesn't know what to do. He eventually was kind of corralled into some narrow alleyways where some homes are. So Joe, you know, but and anyone who's really explored Seoul, walked around Seoul,
right,
will know that there are areas of, especially the older areas, there were the smaller buildings are like four or five stories tall. There are narrow alleyways where people can, you know, they come out of their building, you're in a walkway, you're in an alleyway, and you walk around. So the beginning of Joe's tour, there's some places like that, which they're restaurants now, but people would have lived there. Well, no. Do some people live in the Alley of Ashes, the people, or are they mostly restaurants?
No, it's all restaurants. There's some offices there, like a law office in that area too.
I see. So, but people would have lived there. So anyone who's been on Joe's tour right at the beginning, when you leave the station and walk up the road, those little narrow alleyways, that's kind of the type of alleyway that Seiro was corralled into. And he was tranquilized. It took 6 shots of tranquilizer to get him down. And they used them.
Same for me.
6 shots of scotch. And you can see in the video that they're using like a long blowgun. They didn't use like a tranquilizer pistol or something. It was a blowgun. It's really interesting. And it took 6 shots to get him down. He was brought back to the zoo. So it took about 3 hours. Mm-hmm. They loaded him into once he had kind of, you know, he tranquilizer did its job. And then they gently, you can see in the video, the zoo staff is there. The police are there as well. And they're gently loading him into the back of a truck. And yeah, they took him back to the zoo. The vets checked him over. He was completely fine. The only sign that he left behind in that area, because there wasn't really, he didn't really break anything. There wasn't damage, mm-hmm. wasn't from damage or anything. The only thing he left behind to show that he was there was a big pile of shit. Right,
just like
right,
me.
Also like you, right in the middle of the, right in the middle of the walkway. Big pile of zebra shit right in the walkway. It was great. And you see it right in the video.
And so, oh man,
so someone had to clean that up. He was fine, brought him back, he was checked over and whatnot, he was fine. But it was also then reported that the zoo staff had known previously that Seiro had become difficult to handle. He had picked a fight with a kangaroo.
Yeah, as I would. Yes,
I love Seiro already. Yeah,
Seiro is my my spirit animal.
Your spirit animal.
Becoming, yeah, my
get a picture.
Yeah.
So, but sadly, what's been reported is that Seiro's rebellion.
I guess Seiro's rebellion.
Seiro's rebellion.
Part of Fall of Joseon. Seiro's rebellion.
We'll return to the podcast after this message.
In our first comic, we explored ghastly Korean folk tales while walking the streets of Seoul. This time, we are ambling the Korean highlands with terror tales set in those storied landscapes. Welcome to the Dark Side of Seoul, weird tales from Korean lore, mountains of the macabre.
It happened after his parents died.
Aww.
And then he responded by being very rebellious. As far as I know, he's still at the Seoul Children's Grand Park Zoo. So people can go to the zoo and see Seiro in the zoo. Now, personally, another just an aside, I hate zoos. I think I've mentioned this in other episodes. Yeah. I just don't like zoos. There are a lot of zoos. Like, there is a zoo not far from me that was called Zoo Zoo. And it was infamous for how it treated the animals. And there, it's in Goyang. And there was a group that was developed. It's called Mothers Against Zoo Zoo. And it was called MAZZ, M-A-Z-Z, MAZZ, Mothers Against Zoo Zoo. And they were working to get either the place shut down or have the laws more strongly enforced and get the new management there. And apparently that's happened. There's new management there and they've cleaned up their act. So yeah, I don't like zoos, and I find them depressing. But that's another topic. But one of the big, and I mean this literally, one of the big stories that happened with animals escaping was in 2005. Now, I really wonder if you remember this, Joe. This was in April 2005, April 20th. Also at Seoul Children's Grand Park, there were a Laotian circus was there.
Laotian or what?
From
Laotian.
Laotian, yeah. So, and it was called Elephant World.
Uh-huh.
And they had a parade with 9 elephants, and they were parading the elephants in front of an audience, you know, mostly children and their parents, maybe grandparents and maybe and whatnot. And right around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, while the elephants were on parade, one of the elephants decided that he was like, no, I'm done. Fuck this. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And he just walked out of the parade. He left. He just walked. He walked off the parade. He's like, I'm out of here. And then he was followed by 5 other elephants. And they left the park. These massive, they just walked out of the park. And the first elephant was caught pretty quickly, just in the front of the the park. Caught him pretty fast. The second elephant was caught about 90 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
Also not far. The third, fourth, and fifth elephant, which were all together, all three of them were together, were near Konguk University, which is only about a kilometer south of Children's Grand Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so these three elephants, three amigos, they were walked back to the park. But while they were being walked back by authorities, by trainers and zookeepers, they broke loose again. They took off again. They entered and completely destroyed a Samgyeopsal restaurant.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Customers took off. There were people there. So I guess at this time, it was about 4:30, coming on 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And people were eating. And they took off. Employees at the restaurant hid in a closet. And then the elephants started to eat all of the carrots. I just love that. Just imagine these three massive elephants in a Samgyeopsal restaurant eating carrots.
Yeah. That's back when I used to date vegetarians that would do that
too. So take them to the Samgyeopsal restaurant near Konguk University.
Yeah.
Eat all the carrots.
Yep.
And then since they were there and they were probably sated by the carrots, they were then caught. They were captured then at that point, and they were brought back to the park. Now the sixth elephant, he entered a neighborhood near Kyungbok Elementary School, which is less than a kilometer east of the park, and I had to find all these places on the map just to get an idea of how far the elephants had traveled. And just east, so Kyungbok Elementary School, just east of the park. And there were two women there, and their names were No In-soon and Lee Hae-ja, two older women. They were nearby, they were chatting, And one was a landlady and the other one was a tenant, got along well, and they were just chatting. They turned around, hearing some noise behind them, turned around and saw an elephant walking down the hill towards them. This huge elephant. So E managed to run away. She was able to get out of the way, but Noah was not so lucky. When the elephant passed by, it swung its trunk and struck her, knocked her down, broke several ribs, and caused serious contusions, cuts all along the back of her head when she struck her head on the pavement. She ended up being okay. Of course, she needed medical treatment. The elephant then went to a nearby home, knocked the brick wall down, and just hung out in the yard of the home. And then that's where it was caught. They captured it there. And all the elephants were safely brought back to the park once they calmed down. They had no tranquilizers, powerful enough for elephants. And they were all walked back to the park. Now, remember, some of these were a kilometer away. So they had to walk a kilometer back to the park through the streets of Seoul. Got back there safely. And then after that, the Elephant World Circus from Laos was canceled indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, it's never been back. This was pretty big news back in 2005. My uncle
in America brought that up to me. That's how I found out about that article.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Funny stuff.
I was just starting my second year in Korea then. Yeah.
Right. So now the animal that I was saying that's the threat these days that is causing a lot of trouble are wild boars, the metoeji.
Yes, yes. I've seen some scary videos of that, of them.
I have a link to one down here, a big one, which I think is the most frightening one. And I have the link there in the notes, Joe, because you can, when we upload this, we can attach this.
That's the one I've seen. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. There's several of them. And that's the most frightening one because the way I'll get to it in a second. But so there are growing concern in Seoul and have been for coming on 20 years or so, because they're coming into the city. Now, not only Seoul, they've seen them around Incheon. They've seen them in Gimpo, Jeju Island, Jeju City. They've seen them in other towns and whatnot. And interestingly, when I think this is, it's a bit silly because the government lists them as pests. They're a pest species. But, I guess then you shouldn't have killed off all of your predators, right?
So we shouldn't get rid of the tigers?
Well, I mean, if Korea had developed with a population of tigers, it would have developed differently. Not poorly, but differently, right? So, but now there's a problem with the boars. So, but not only is there a lack of predation for boars, but there's habitat encroachment as well. So, and that brings the boars into the city. They're potentially very dangerous. They're big. They're grumpy.
They're sharp teeth.
Tusks. Yeah, the tusks. They're very, very fast in short bursts on flat land. They can be extremely fast. If you see them in the mountains on slopes and whatnot, they're not that fast because they're long, they're wide, they're heavy, they have stumpy little legs. So they can't run well over rocky cliff sides. They take their time when they're going down through these areas. So, but in the city, when they're on the flat, yeah, they can be very dangerous because they can run way faster than a human can, way, way faster. And so, one of the issues is that when boars don't breed, when they can't find a mate, they then tend to just go look for food. And food
as we resource. All do.
Yeah, right. They go look for some pity ice cream.
Late night in Seoul. It's like, all right, just go to the Pojang Matcha. Nothing's happening here.
see a boar sitting at the table next to you, down in some soju and some carrots. So they look for food resources, and then there's always food where humans are. And so since we're encroaching on the wild, on their habitat, there's crossover, and they're coming now into the cities. They'll dig around garbage and stuff like that. So this is an issue. In 2022, 155 boars were captured in Seoul.
Wow.
In 2015, more than 320 boars were sighted in Seoul, in the city. Not captured, just sighted in 2015. Mm-hmm. So there are big numbers of boar sightings in the last 10 years, especially. So the only way to deal with them is with hunters. So Seoul City does employ hunters. They're the only predator. So they keep their numbers down, because when boars are swine. So when they breed, when they have babies, they have a ton. They can have a dozen.
There's a feral pig crisis starting to happen in North America. It's really growing.
Oh, is that right?
Similar to that. Okay. Yeah. Same thing. Right. Yeah.
You get a lot of them in Alabama?
I've experienced it. But I mean, I hear they're really bad, especially mostly in Arkansas, which is northwest of Alabama. But that's been one of the only, I mean, it's the closest pro argument I've had for people having assault rifles is to deal with the feral pig population.
Assault rifle. I mean, wouldn't a shotgun would do it.
No, because there's so many.
Ah, right. Jesus.
Yeah.
Mowing down boars.
Yeah, this guy's trying to protect his kids. They're playing in the yard, and there's like a herd of feral pigs crawling through. He's going, bah, 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 bah. You know, he's going to have to really, yeah. That's how big it's gotten.
Right.
You need assault rifles to get rid of them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and so in Korea, people are killed by boars. There was at least one killing this year, 2024. A man was killed in Gwaje.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, it is an issue. And,
well, Gwaje is an island to the south.
Yeah. It's off the south coast. Yeah. So, west of Busan. East of Suncheon, southeast of there. So, okay. Beautiful area.
Suncheon, known for their chili peppers, and their gochujang.
Beautiful area, Suncheon. Yep. Beautiful place. A man was killed there just this past January by a boar. He bled to death. He was bitten and attacked with tusks, and the boar's tusks, I guess, and then he bled to death before he got help. So a few of the cases in the last several years, there were big ones in July 2016, and this is the one we'll post a YouTube link to it. A boar entered a restaurant in Seoul, rampaged through the restaurant, just went fucking nuts, scared the shit out of the customers and the workers. The funny thing, though, is that you see people reacting to this thing, and then, of course, you're seeing it, and you're in the safety of your home, or looking at your mobile, whatever.
You know, you're laughing when you're looking at it,
but you're shocked as well. But one of the men in the video, when he first sees it, so this restaurant, it's a typical Korean restaurant. Most people are sitting on the floor. And they give you cushions to sit on, right?
They're more like placemats for your butt. They're not really that cushiony.
Right. But this guy sees the boar, and he stands up, and he grabs the cushion, and he holds it.
Yeah, like a shield. or like he's like, that's boar fighting. He's a Toto, Toto.
This is funny, his reaction picking it up. You're like, what? But, you know, but at the same time, if you're in that situation, you react in some way, like you're gonna,
what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's funny. So, but anyway, so that's the guy's response. But then the boar charges the group and soars over the table.
Yeah.
Just whip. And it's amazing.
It's like it's like Mario.
Yeah. And Sword bangs into the I think it's the air conditioning. It bangs
right, into the, right, air, bangs into the air conditioner
in the corner. Yeah. And then there are two women sitting there and they jump up and they get out of the way.
Yeah.
And then they start running. And then the boar sees one of the women and starts following it. It's amazing. And then in the other side of the restaurant, you can see the CCTV, I guess, you know, and we have all this is from CCTV footage. And on the other side, there's three or four men.
Yeah.
They're sitting down and they stand up and they start trying to kind of move and corral the boar with the tables. They tip the tables over. And, if anyone's been in these restaurants, those tables are heavy. They're meant to be heavy. And, they tip them over and then the boar, you see the boar rushes at one point to try to get to one of the men, and the man flips the table and the boar slams into the table.
Yeah.
If the table wasn't there, the boar would have just charged the guy. And then they try to fight the boar off at the tables, and then the boar runs away, gets out of the restaurant. It's crazy. So extreme, very heavy damage to the restaurant. The restaurant is just, tables flipped over. There's probably a hole in the wall, but there were no injuries. No one got hurt.
I mean, when I had a restaurant, a bar, I did have some patrons that were like that.
So if you open a new one, call it the boar. Just call it the boar.
The boar.
The boar. Then in September 2017, you can find this online. There are two boars that go into a mobile phone shop down in Gwangju. There's one or two workers there. There are customers there, and they all jump up on the tables, and the boars just kind of run around. They break a flower plot, a pot, a planter, and then they just leave. Some damage to the restaurant.
It's a phone shop.
Yeah, in a mobile phone shop. Yeah,
yeah.
And there's some damage there, but no injuries. No one got hurt.
Mm.
Another one, 2018, January, a boar went into a restaurant in Gumi.
Every one of these sounds like a setup for a joke. Every time, two boars so entered a mobile phone shop. A boar entered a restaurant in Gumi.
It rampaged around a bit. All the customers just gone like a squirt of shit. They were gone, running out of the restaurant. Some damages, but no one was hurt. But this boar too kind of rampages quite a bit, and you see the people kicking at it and whatnot, but no one got hurt. When I do soul hikes, right at the beginning, I do a safety discussion and whatnot,
right.
And I mention things about how to, you know, if you need help stepping up a rock or down from a rock, we go wrist to wrist, not hand to hand. You go wrist to wrist and it's safer and things like that. So I give a short discussion on safety, immediate safety issues that for everyone to be prepared for. And then I bring up boars. I said, there is the possibility that we'll see boars, and I give everyone a breakdown of what to do if we see one. You never take off. You never run. I'd much rather see a boar in the mountain than in the city. It's easier to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Although city, I guess technically, you know, I wouldn't want to see a boar in a restaurant, in a building, because mm-hmm. It's hard. You can see people in the videos, just people just jumping for their lives, trying to get away from these animals. And, so I do talk about this, but, in the years that, in all of the years that I've been hiking with clients, I've never seen a boar, not with clients. It's never happened. And the trail where I go on the soul hike, I've never seen boars there. It's just too narrow of a valley, mm-hmm. and they just avoid it. They just don't stay in place. They generally avoid places like that. And so, and the increased number of boar sightings, in Seoul, but in Pukansan National Park, is partially why the national park now prohibits night hiking. They kind of always have prohibited night hiking, but they've started to clamp down on it. Apparently, the fines have increased and whatnot. And this is why we've had to close the Sunset Trail, my night hiking tour, which bums me out because that was a popular tour. That was a great. I loved that tour. But yeah, the park closing night or being stricter about night hikes has forced me to close the tours. So anyway, so those are boars. Surfing Seoul. If you see a boar, try to get a good video of it. Send it to us and be safe.
Shoot.
And the last thing we'll talk about, and there are a lot of issues, a lot of things to talk about, but there's only so many things we can fit in an episode. Maybe we'll come back to this in the future. Another one is feral dogs. And feral dog numbers have also been increasing, especially around Seoul, but particularly in the mountains in Pukansan and in Kwanaksan. So in the north and the south, the main north and main southern mountains. The Pukansan National Park is full of signs now warning hikers about feral dogs. Signs about boars have been up for years and years. They've had warning signs about boars. And they had a warning sign for the monkey when the monkey got when the monkey escaped in Pukansan several years ago. But they have signs now, especially in the last year, a lot more signs about feral dogs. They encourage people to report them. But as far as I can tell, those warnings are mostly ignored. I don't think hikers generally report the dogs. They're more likely to feed them or just ignore them. I don't report them. I see them all the time. I never report them. I think the majority of people who do report them are residents who live in areas close to the mountain, and the dogs come around. So they report them. Apparently was it in Jeju-do? I think it was in Jeju-do where groups of feral dogs had killed a cow. And I'd imagine it was a young cow, but and so they were all caught. Now, according to what I've read from the government, it's believed that there are just over 200 feral dogs in Pukansan and Kwanaksan collectively. So 200 in Pukansan and Kwanaksan. That seems way too low to me. I think there's more than that.
You think so?
Yeah, I think there are. I think it's more than that. Because I see feral dogs on every single hike I've been on in Pukansan National Park in the last year and a half. And I'm certain I'm not seeing the same dogs. Now that's a fairly big number, but I have a feeling that there's just more than that. That seems far too small a number. My very last Seoul hike, the most recent one, with my clients, we saw a pack of them. We saw a pack of feral dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I saw another pack of them last autumn, and they had puppies with them.
Oh man!
So, and when we saw the pack on the last hike, Seoul hike, there was the people were feeding them. There was a man up; they were up on the slopes on Wonhyobong, and there was a guy up there. He was dropping meat and stuff all around, and they all kept their distance. And then when he walked away, they all ran up and started eating the food. The people shouldn't be feeding the dogs. I think you should leave them. If they're feral, you leave them alone to try to figure out how to hunt. And if they can't figure it out, then nature takes care of them. We shouldn't be feeding these feral dogs. I don't necessarily think they're a huge threat either to people. Not in Seoul. They could be a threat to farms and to livestock. Then that means that they're a threat to people's livelihoods. Then yes, something has to be done. But overall, I don't think they're a large threat to hikers in Pukansan National Park. That could be a debate. People might disagree. I think people definitely would disagree. It would be a good debate to have, but I generally don't think they're a huge threat. The governments and the authorities have pointed out that feral dogs are usually wary of people. They'll stay away. They'll keep their distance. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why I agree, since the authorities also say and agree that feral dogs generally will stay away from people, then that just helps me confirm what I think is true. They're not that much of a threat. They should be, however, they should be caught, and the efforts that they're putting in to capture them, and I'm getting into this in a second, the efforts that they put in to catch these feral dogs should be also put into every single time you see any animal on the street. There should be efforts put in to spay and neuter feral animals. Keep their numbers down. So if money is being spent on teams of people that go in to capture the dogs, I think a huge part of that should also just be, if they're okay, I don't think they're much of a harm to the ecology of Pukansan National Park. There's just no ecology there anyway. And I think humans are a bigger threat anyway to the ecology, what ecology is left there, with littering, with making noise, this terrible, inconsiderate, awful habit is coming back in Korea, where people will go hiking and they'll listen to music and not through their headphones or earphones. And I'll see older people doing it, and I see younger people doing it. And the difference now is that they're listening to this music on their phones. Older people are listening to trot, and younger people are listening to K-pop. I saw that on my last Seoul hike as well. Four young people walked by on the trail, and they're listening to K-pop on their phone. It's like, turn your fucking music off. So inconsiderate, so rude. That is the epitome of poor hiking etiquette, mountain etiquette. So I'm more concerned about what people are doing to the environment than I am feral dogs. So this is why I support the idea of bringing fees back, park fees. The parks are now free to enter. Pukansan's free. It wasn't always. I support park fees in some way. It can help keep numbers down. And so that's also a debate that many people have.
We should do this. Maybe do a show on controversial topics we held, opinions we have. Debatable opinions.
Isn't that every episode?
I think that is true.
I think we don't shy from our opinions. That's for sure.
So grouchy.
So there is currently, right now, a large capture campaign underway to catch the dogs, and I've seen a lot of the catch cages that they have all around the parks. You can see there's at least one up in an area that's called Samobawi near Bibong, mm-hmm. which is in the south of the park. I've seen them around Mangyongdae. I've seen them around Yonghyeolbong. I've seen them in different areas. So what they do, when the dogs get trapped in the cages, so they're long cages where a dog is attracted to food. When they go into the cage, they step on something that drops the gate behind them. Then they're trapped in the cage. Authorities will come up. They'll tranquilize the dog. They'll bring it to a shelter, and they put it up for adoption for 20 days. That's it. And if the dog doesn't get adopted in 20 days, then it's euthanized. Mm-hmm. So I think there are part of the campaign too is they're encouraging people who want dogs to come and adopt these dogs. And this is why you should, if you want an animal, go to a shelter. Go to a shelter, get a dog, get a pet from a shelter. I completely support that. Another thing, just a final point on that, is something that kind of drives me nuts. The government and other authorities recognize that the population of feral dogs has grown due to increased incidents of abandonment. People are taking their dogs to the park and dropping them off. And I've seen all types of breeds up in the park. When I saw one that a pack of them last autumn on Soul Hike, there was babies. There was there was two or three other dogs among the packs. You could see the mother. The babies were following the mother. And I got a video of this, actually. And then the father is ahead and he's barking at us. He was keeping his distance, but he was barking. He was warning us. And we stopped, a tiny little dog anyway. And there was two or three other dogs with them, and they were different breeds. So these dogs were all together. All definitely, you can tell that they were dogs that were dropped off. They were like Maltese and like, I have no idea like how they would survive up in the park. So there's an increased incidence of abandoning dogs. And then this is increasing the feral dog population in the park. So since that is the root of the problem, focus on that. This top-down approach is just ridiculous. What are they doing to stop the abandonment of dogs? Top-down approaches are always easier because there's less effort involved. So that's why they're doing this. But if the root is abandonment, that's where the focus has to be, not on capturing these dogs. So there you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Animals. Love them.
Animals. I like
them. What's your favorite animal, Joe? As a pet. Like a pet.
Gosh. No, don't make me choose between pets. Dogs or cats, they all have. In Korea, a cat, and in the city, a cat makes more sense for me because, well, I'm lazy. I don't want to take my dog out to use the bathroom all the time. And now that we have like tofu kitty litter, I can just flush the litter in the toilet. Mm. Yeah. And it smells nice too. I like the smell of the tofu kitty litter. It's, how to describe it? It's like dough. It smells like flour or something.
Right.
Yeah.
We did use that with Yomi the White. But then he kept having diarrhea and we're trying to figure it out. And then and then my wife looked it up and he wasn't eating it because it is edible. It is edible. But
yeah.
It also keeps hold of bacteria.
Oh.
So it keeps the litter dirty, so certain cats can have negative responses to it.
Oh, well,
so
not good.
And then as soon as we changed to a high quality sand litter, his diarrhea stopped.
But then so you can't flush it down the toilet anymore.
No. We have like one of those, you know, like a diaper genie
where you throw the
that's what we have.
For okay.
It's a cat poop genie. But I love all types of animals, but overall I'm a dog person overall.
If I had a yard.
Cause I like going hiking. Cause I had a dog in Korea.
Yeah. Hiking with the dog would be great. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So anyway,
ferrets. There you go. And I used to have a ferret.
That's another thing. Feral ferrets. They're around Seoul. We see them around. I've seen them around Namdaemun often. There you go. I'm a big snow leopard fan. I love snow leopard. I'm a supporter of the Snow Leopard Trust organization, which is probably the most intelligent organization for population protection. What they do, they give incentives to farmers in Nepal and India or around the Himalaya where snow leopards are found, they provide incentives for those people to not kill the snow leopards. And then when they raise funds, they go in and they build proper fencing, modern fencing for these farms that keeps the leopards out and protects their livestock.
Hmm.
And then the Snow Leopard Trust then employs these people, essentially employs them. These people would do things like make crafts, hand woven crafts and things like that. The snow leopard sells them for 0% profit. They give all the money back to the villages, mm-hmm. and then they make an agreement with the village: don't kill the snow leopards. We'll build these new farms for you, and we'll also sell your products online through our organization. Well, it's the most successful and most intelligent approach. It's been around since the early 80s.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, I think you're going to have to atone for what you did today. Now, we are recording this on April Fool's Day. And Sean warned me last night he was going to do this. I'm like, well, you deal with it, buddy. You deal with it. Go back from this.
It was awesome.
Okay.
So this would be one quick media recommendation, I guess, just popped in my mind. One would be the movie Razorback, an Australian creature feature horror film. Love it. It's about it's about a monstrous wild boar. Oh, and interestingly, I can't remember the name of the film now, but a Korean film. So Razorback goes back a few decades, but a Korean horror film or a Korean film, and I'll be damned if I can't remember the title, but somehow they got a hold of one of the fake boars that was used in this Australian creature feature horror film decades ago and used it in a Korean film.
Ah.
I can't remember. I'll ask Pierce, our friend Pierce Conran. He knows which film it is.
Okay.
And if I remember, I'll put it online. But anyway, that's a media recommendation, just one. Cocaine Bear.
Oh, Cocaine Bear. Yeah.
Watch that.
And Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. Yeah. So it's April Fool's Day. And we had a bit of a chat in our Tokebi room, also about April Fools. And I'm a huge advocate for it. I think it's a great way. I think it's a good, as long as the jokes are harmless and, you know, you're not physically hurting somebody or physically embarrassing somebody, I think they're harmless. And I think April Fool's is really important as a day for us to remember not to take ourselves so seriously.
Right.
And I think that's what the day's become, to not take everything so fucking seriously. It's all right. Life is frivolous. Just go with it. just have fun.
Right.
And joke around with people now and again. And if everyone is willing to joke around, everyone's having fun. Okay. So, and we really, really need that. And I think we need that these days more than ever. Everything's so, so serious these days. Just crack some jokes. So this morning at around 9:30, I think it was 9:30 Korea time, I posted on an Instagram story on our Dark Side of Soul Instagram. And then I attached it to the Facebook Facebook stories. So, saying, and I'll read it, what I posted. So it's verbatim. I said, sad announcement. We're sorry to announce that the Dark Side of Soul is ending. We will record our final podcast episode tonight. The final tour will be on Sunday, June 9th. We can't legally state in detail why we have to shut down, but we'll explain as much as we can in the next story. And then I put the thing that says next story. And when you tap on the next story, it says April Fools. And it plays this song. April Fools. And the responses were interesting. And so I'm going to read some of them. And these are some of these are from our.
We were getting a bunch while we're recording, because we're recording when the Western part of the world's waking up. to this.
Can't wait to look. Can't wait to see them. I haven't seen them yet.
Oh, so, gosh.
I can read some of them in real time if there are some. Yeah, there. So, okay, so the ones that I'm recording that we got earlier today, some of our biggest followers. So Zooey sent us a message saying, I was devastated. I'm happy it's not true. Victoria said, literally had a heart attack. Well, Victoria, not literally. I hope you didn't literally have a heart attack. But then she put two laughing emojis. Eugene said, not going to lie, you had me there. Julia said, I forgot it was already April 1st in Korea and was so sad for a minute there. D said, very simply, I hate you. Tay the delightful said, this is not cool. I thought it was serious. Despina said, Jesus Christ, guys. Ha ha. And she spelt Jesus with no S's and put two Z's there. Jesus Christ, guys. Korean True Crime. Good YouTube channel. And by the way, go check that out. Korean True Crime said, that scared me so badly, I ran to tell my husband before it got to the next story. She told her husband before she saw the next story, saying it was a joke. And Delaney said, you all got me stressed for a minute. Oh, my God. It's not April 1st in the States yet.
Oh, man. Well, the one new one we just got was from LV, and it's all in all caps. OMFG, I hate you guys. But I get that every day.
Right.
I don't need to do much to get that response from people. All right.
Yeah. We got a bunch from people just like sending us like cry emojis. And then the next one is a laugh emoji. We'll get to the next story. So it was fun. Good times. Good times. Good fun. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone. We're not going anywhere. Don't worry.
No.
We got a lot more coming.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, we got comic books to sell. Yeah. Mm.
That's right. Yeah, we need to get more of those as well, actually.
Yeah, we do. We're starting to run low already. Yeah, you can get them over at Dyson Comics Cafe near Jeonghyun Pyeon Station in Seoul, or you can order them online at darksideofseoul.com. You can also order them when you're booking our tickets on our tours at darksideofseoul.com. The Dark Side of Soul podcast is produced by Joe McPherson and Sean Morrissey. Our opening and closing music is by Sodexon, which you can find on Bandcamp under Jeju Digital. We'd like to thank our top tier patrons, Angel Earl, Joel Bonamini, Sharon Cullen, Devin Hifner, Gabby Palomino, Steve Marsh, Mitchie Brewer, Ron Chang, Mackenzie Moore, Hunter Winter, Cecilia Lufkin-Dumas, Emily Umbal, Josephine Riedberg, David Weatherly, Jenna Song, Devin Buchanan, Edward Bradford, and our newest Okabe. She hasn't given me permission to say her last name yet, so I'm just going to say Eva.
Well, we've mentioned Eva several times, actually. Eva's one of our... Yes. Eva sent us a message as well. She said, I think she didn't fall for it. And she asked, how many people fell for it?
Because she's evil like us. Mm. Well, thank you for sticking with us. Be careful out there. And until next time, stay spooky.
Get your pets spayed and neutered.